Yo, Bruce Sophia here. Love for you to follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sophia as we explore the rich heritage of our Christian faith.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
See, it's fun, and it is pleasurable, and Satan tells you that, and that's true. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasurable. And when the church or a Christian tells you that's no fun, he's really lying to you. Because it is. That's why people do it. But what he doesn't show you is the end result. And that's death.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world. Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
First point was the serpent and temptation. Point B, Eve adds to the word of God. Look at that, what she says. She's telling him what God said. First of all, let me say this. She got sucked in the conversation with the devil. That's her first mistake. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The minute he said, hath God said, she should have got out of there. She hung around a little too long. It's what happens in temptation. You're in the midst of temptation, you hang in there, and all of a sudden it's too late. You've already yielded when you should have turned your back and gotten out of there. And this is what she does. She's no match for the devil. No, none of us are a match for the devil. Jesus is the only match for the devil. And that's why we should use his name and not try to handle him in our own strength. But she adds, she said that the Lord, they couldn't touch it. And he didn't tell her that. See that? Verse 3. Should say verse, yes. Verse 3, she said, he said, we can't touch it or we'll die. He didn't say they couldn't touch it because they were to dress the garden anyway. He told her they weren't to eat of it. They add to the word of God. In the Old Testament, they added to the Sabbaths. They added regulations God didn't add. In the New Testament, they added do's and they added don'ts. They tried to lay all kinds of Jewish customs on the Gentiles. And they wound up having to have a conference at Jerusalem with James, the Lord's half-brother, and Peter and Paul. And they all met together for a conference and came up and wrote the Gentiles a letter and told them there's only three things you can't do. You can't drink blood, you're to avoid sexual immorality, fornication, and you're not to eat meat that's been strangled and offered to idols, and that's it. Everything else is your conscience. And they tried to lay all kinds of do's and don'ts and things that they should do and shouldn't do, and God didn't ask them. God didn't lay that burden on them, and he doesn't want the church to lay it on you, but it's the same today. Church puts on people things God never put on them. And it's really a burden God never intended us to carry. It locks us in. And God freed us in the person of his Son, and they did the same thing here. Let's move to point C. The serpent mixes truth or twists the truth, and he presents it as a lie, verse 4 and 5. And that's exactly what the cults do. They take a little bit of truth, they twist it and pervert it, and it looks good. And on the surface, it looks good. On the surface, you look at the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and you go, oh, they believe in Jesus. They believe he was a prophet. They believe he was the Son of God. But when you pin them down and make them tell the truth about what they believe, they wind up telling you that he was Michael the Archangel, and eventually every one of us will be a God just like Jesus is. He is not God the Son, nor the Son of God. But on the surface, it looks right. And Satan, everything he said was true. It really is. Everything he said was true. But it was twisted, just like it's twisted today. If I were to take a glass, I was going to do that today, this morning, for an illustration. And I were to put in it water, and also put in it a type of poison that was clear and looked just like water. And you were thirsty. And you said to me, would that quench my thirst? And I said, yes, it would. That'd be the truth, wouldn't it? It'd quench your thirst in more ways than one. Believe me, you'd never be thirsty again. But, and you drank that. The end result would be death. But it would have quenched your thirst. And that's what Satan did. He said, oh, yes, that's true. But he didn't tell him the result of it. And you know, he does the same thing today. He destroys homes with drugs and alcoholism and the affair, which is a nice word for adultery and fornication. He does not show the girl pregnant with no father or mother when he offers her sex outside of the bounds of marriage. He doesn't show the woman living with a conscience stricken by abortion. Thank God that God can take that away. He does not show the homosexual lonely and eaten with disease, or the thief behind bars. He does not show the man or the woman enslaved by lust, bound by pornography, and eventually not caring whether it's the opposite sex or the same sex. Sex is sex, enslaved by it. And we can go on and on. See, it's fun. And it is pleasurable. And Satan tells you that, and that's true. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasurable. And when the church or a Christian tells you that's no fun, he's really lying to you. Because it is. That's why people do it. But what he doesn't show you is the end result. And that's death. And see, every believer should do something or not do something because it brings him life or it brings him death. And that's why you may be able to do something, but I can't, because what you may be able to do doesn't bring you death, but it brings me death. There are the areas God didn't specify, but there are areas he did. He made them clear, he made them black and white. We all have to live by those. It's pleasurable, but it brings you death. It's a lie. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. The fruit was good to eat, but the result was that it brought them both death. And see, Satan miscast God. He always miscast God. He miscast him as this big ogre. Oh, God said you can't eat that. You know why God said you can't eat that. You'd be like him. And in a sense, they were like him. They knew right and wrong. They didn't know that before. They were in a state of innocence. And he was true, see? But they never could be like God. And under it was a lie. And he miscast them. And that's what people do today. That's why people often say to you, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want any parts of that God. Satan miscasts God. That's why when our witness, we always need to point to Jesus, not to ourselves. What Jesus has done for us, not what we've done for ourselves. He is the person who gives life. D, the fall. And the immediate result is sin. The immediate result of sin is that it separates man from God. Instantly they were separated. And do you know something? Sin likes company. Have you ever thought about that? In fact, all of us like company. But sin loves company. If people sinned alone, no one would get caught. Did you ever think about that? They really wouldn't. If you sinned alone, nobody would get caught. It'd just be between you and God. But see, sin always, and I said it always, and I say it again, it always affects another. Always. The steps of her sin, look, she saw the lust of the eyes. She took lust of the flesh. She ate the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Let's turn to it. Go towards the very end of your Bible. Hit the book of Revelations and back up and you're there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, she took. And the lust of the eyes, she saw. And the boastful pride of life she ate is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Do you know Satan tempted her? Satan tempted Jesus the identical way he tempted Eve in the garden. All three steps. He said to Jesus, here are the kingdoms of the world, the eyes. He said to Jesus, oh, you're hungry. Turn those stones into bread. Lust of the flesh. Then he said to Jesus, prove you're God. Cast yourself down from this mountain, and if you're God, the angels will pick you up. Pride of life. Jesus, knowing he was God, would say, okay, Satan, I'll show you. I'll do just that. I'll cast myself down from this mountain, and the angels will pick me up. But did he do it? No. Because he was tempted. The pride of life. Sin separates from God, verse 7 and 10. And I'm not going to take time to go into it, but the psalmist said in Psalm 66, 18, he said, if I hide iniquity or sin in my heart, God will not hear me. James 4, 17 says, he that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin. So if you know to do right and you don't do it, you've sinned and it separates you from God. Sin separates, period. Separates, period. See, the serpent sinned mentally, and then he sinned verbally. And usually when we sin, and I was going to develop this point, but because of time, I won't. But usually when we sin, our greatest sin is we've sinned more often, most times, with our mouth. That's where we sin. The little member that James has a whole chapter on, chapter 3, called the tongue. That's where we sin the most. We separate friendships by gossip and all kinds of sin. But it comes from the mouth. I wish I had time. I'm going to take time in one of the messages to develop that point because I think it's important to church unity and church growth. But see, Eve sinned with her mouth. She said the wrong thing about God. And she also went to her husband and asked him to eat. She sinned mentally, she sinned verbally, and she sinned in action. The serpent did the same thing. And sin separates from God. Eve and the serpent were both guilty of sin, of sinning. In word and deed. And the last point. We have the serpent and the temptation. We have Eve's addition to the word. We have the serpent who twisted the truth. And we had the immediate result of sin. Separation from God. And then I want you to notice verse 8. That God seeks man for restoration. Look at that verse, verse 8, chapter 3. Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God as he walked in the garden of the cool of the day. I think that text infers that regularly God communed with the man and the woman he had created. Every day He walked into that garden in the cool of the day and He spoke with them. And you know God wants to do that with you today. He wants to daily walk with you and speak with you and guide and direct you in every aspect of your life. People often say, who am I? Where am I going? What's my purpose in life? And God wants to tell you all three of those. You're a person that God has made worthy. And He has a plan for your life. And it can be abundant. He has a direction for it. And He met with Adam and Eve and He spoke with them. And you notice who did the calling? It wasn't man, it was God. They were hiding themselves. And even their fig leaves weren't sufficient. Because if their covering was sufficient, why didn't they go talk to the Lord? And I don't think it was because the fig leaves were scanty or just covered little portions of their body. Because I think they could have draped a whole skin from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot and still would have felt guilty. And God called to them just as He calls today. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And He said, for God commended His love for us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He calls. He calls to you this morning. He calls to every single person who is alive today, because every single person is in the same position Adam and Eve is. They're a sinner. Lost and bound for hell outside of the grace of God. And see, their efforts were inadequate. Their fig leaves were inadequate. And whatever you do is inadequate. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot do enough good deeds to outweigh them. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not a single thing you can do. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, don't turn to it because I'm closing. It says, for by grace you have been saved by faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He didn't say you could earn it. He didn't say you could pay for it. He didn't say you could be good enough. Because if you could earn it, you can pay for it, you'd be good enough, He wouldn't have had to send Jesus. There'd be no need for Him. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and that of not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. And you notice, with Adam and Eve, no one wanted to accept the blame. Eve blamed it on the serpent. Adam blamed it on Eve. You know who took the blame? Jesus took the blame. He takes your blame. He takes my blame. For He, meaning the Father, made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Do you want to be made righteous? Do you want to know that heaven is your home? Jesus took your blame. You don't have to worry about earning it, being so good that you make it. He did it all for you. All you have to do is accept Him. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, so many times we hear the gospel. It makes sense in our minds. It's rational. But yet we have never accepted the person of Jesus for ourselves. There are some here this morning, I'm sure, who have never recognized that Jesus took all of their blame, all of their sin, on Himself. And all they have to do
is receive Him as their personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just pray this simple little prayer. Say, Father in heaven, you can do it right now. Say, Father in heaven, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I believe you sent Jesus to die and pay for my sins, and that he rose again that I might have eternal life. And this morning, I receive you as my own personal Lord and Savior. I want to dwell in your presence forever. I want heaven to be my home. I want my sins to be put away forever. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And if you prayed that prayer this morning while every head's bowed, would you just raise your hand? I prayed that prayer. I asked the Lord to be my Savior. Do I have any? I prayed that prayer. Heavenly Father, you see each heart this morning. And I just ask that the seed that's been planted, you might water and nourish, that there would not be one single person here that would be lost, that all would come to a knowledge of you, dwell in your presence.
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a book to help you with your new decision to receive Christ. Those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce today, we would love to send you an ABC pamphlet and a free guidebook entitled, What Now? Just call us at 1-800-CHANGE. That's 1-800-242-6433. Change by the Word is a listener-supported radio ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus. We constantly hear from not only those listening in the United States, but from 70 nations all around the world. That only happens through the generous gifts of our Change by the Word partners, we affectionately call Good Sams. Those of you who have been blessed by Change by the Word believe its message is worth sharing. Consider partnering with Change by the Word. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW on the top toolbar, or simply call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. And join our Good Sam team. Our prayer is to see 260 new Good Sams each year. Change by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Hope Rises is an all-new Easter production presented by the GCCC Creative Arts Department.
At the tomb that day, just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be
This is a unique modern-day story that tells of a Midwest town that searches for answers after their world collapses.
This uplifting and compelling production combines drama, sets, costumes, lights, sound, and music as the Easter story unfolds.
1 weekend only, 5 performances, and admission is free. Friday, April 7th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, April 8th at 3:30 and 6:30 p.m., and again Sunday, April 9th at 9:15 a.m. and again at 12:15 p.m. Hope Rises Easter production at the Gloucester County Community Church. Visit gcccpray.com for times and directions.